start it up. That would be your Tuesday on B&E. It's a jam-packed Tuesday. We've got Cowboy fans fired up. Cowboys, big win last night. Always good to beat the divisional Giants in New Jersey.
Nice job.
Down.
Nice job by Kellen Moore, too, yes. Good game plan.
Yeah, it was a dull game into the middle of the third. Shouldn't say dull. The Cowboys' defense was they're, right now, the Cowboys are must-see TV on TV.
For sure.
On defense because Micah Parsons is a highlight reel. DeMarcus Lawrence was great last night.
Javon Diggs
is making play. Donovan Wilson, the safety out of A&M.
He was everywhere last night.
Sixth-round pick, playing like a man possessed. I mean, Dan Quinn is picking up right where he left off last year. We said all offseason, of all the offseason losses the Cowboys took, they did lose some key guys, including Amari Cooper. But the biggest move was to keep Dan Quinn, which was kind of fortunate because it looked for all the world that he was going to be the new head coach of the Denver Broncos. I think the Broncos are regretting that now with the guy they've got, this old Nate Hackett.
Oh, Nate Hackett.
I mean, this doesn't
seem to be.
Because I didn't get to tell you this yesterday because I wasn't here. But did you see over the weekend going into their game, maybe the worst game ever played Sunday night with the 49ers and Broncos that finished 11-10,
the baseball score?
But ahead of that game, you know what you always preach to me, every coach needs a dumbass coach.
Yeah. He got one.
Nate Hackett hired a dumbass coach.
Yeah, he got a dumbass coach
to come in and help him with clock management.
There you go.
Like hired, give him a job. Let me hire this guy.
Find yourself a dumbass
coach.
Just find yourself a dumbass coach and let's go. He won the game, 11-10.
11-10. But you know what? Because Dan Quinn looked for all the world he was going to be the coach of the Broncos,
Man. And
then here he is, and the Cowboys are going sweet because this guy is delivering on D. And then the Cowboys win. After the offense scuffled for most of the first half into the third.
But they had a plan. I think Kellen Moore had a plan about running the ball. They were wanted to run the ball. I thought they run the ball pretty effectively last night.
Well, and you said earlier, if CeeDee Lamb would have caught balls, they would have been the offense would have had a much more dynamic first half. It was drop passes and just some misplays here and there. There was a lot to like about what you saw there. Jason Peters in playing offensive line. There was a play. When Zeke Elliott went around left side?
Jason Peters pushed that guy out of the way.
Well, but then did you see on that play? Go back and watch that play. Tyler Smith is 15 yards downfield. The rookie out of Tulsa, he's like a locomotive.
Moving.
He blocked like three dudes. Just boom, boom.
That dude's also a grabbing machine. You're talking about a guy whose arms are so long, they get up around your neck.
Well, do you see where? Well, you see what they drafted him for out of Tulsa.
I can understand that.
I mean, he is an athletic guy. And he likes contact. I mean,
he needs to pretend like he's got short arms because he's got some long.
Last night when he got out in front of Zeke on that play, you like to watch tsunami videos. He was like something moving through a tsunami, just knocking things over. He was awesome. But Cowboys get a big win. Longhorns frustrated, to say the least. And it's good to be back here because we got, I didn't not know this, but Ty Henderson, our new producer, we were both in the airport last night. Ty, you were flying back from Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
Yep. I was back from Smashville. Yeah, that's what they call Nashville. The hockey team calls it Smashville. What time did you get in there, Ty?
Like 9:20.
I mentioned we landed at 11, and we sat on the runway until midnight waiting for a gate. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have a gate?
I'm about to sleep in this plane. Don't even wake me until tomorrow morning.
That is a very frustrating. That's like, well, you want to talk about a tease. You land, you're about to get off, and they're like, oh, we're waiting on a gate.
Thinking about your bed.
That's a panic attack for me waiting to happen.
Oh, it was. Everybody stayed calm on our American Airlines, by the way, which I'm not flying anymore. That's over.
Oh, did you figure that out?
That's no more American Airlines.
You're done with them?
Issues both ways. Couldn't find a gate? Really? Like a gate. Like, get these people off this plane.
I don't know. I've been a Delta guy for a long time.
Before we get to our headlines, we also got a tip from you for the kids in the car line, which are starting to pack up out there this morning. We've also got the coach's corner, more from Steve Sarkisian from yesterday's Monday news conference, and more on the Cowboys. But I don't know. I've been to some party cities, right? I mean, because we didn't fly out till late last night. We had the day in Nashville.
Nashville party town now, huh?
Well, like, I've been to New Orleans. I've been to Vegas. I've been... That place on a Monday
in Chicago
on a Monday was like downtown was packed. We just wanted to go look at the Ryman Auditorium and that and see the history of the Ryman and the Mother Church of Country Music, which was cool. That place was like spring break. I mean, it was packed on a Monday. Like, what is going on here? Somebody did tell me that a lot of folks are getting out of Florida.
The hurricane coming.
One of the guys said that I've already talked to four or five people who are up here. Just getting ahead of trying to get out of Tampa.
Yeah, Brady's out of town.
Yeah, because you know, if you wait too long, you waited too long when you got to evacuate. And so let's just go to Nashville. And looked like that happened yesterday. But I had a good time over the weekend. But let's get to the other headlines, the trending topics to get your busy Tuesday morning underway. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and we do start with those Longhorns. Actually, no, we'll start with the Cowboys because that's better news. What's going on with the Texas Longhorns? We'll start with Dallas, a huge road win last night in New Jersey, the Meadowlands. On Monday Night Football, they rally and hold on for a 23-16 win over the Giants, proved a 2-1 on the year. Game was all field goals into the third. That's when Saquon Barkley of the Giants ripped off a 36-yard touchdown to put the G-Men up 13-6. But Cooper Rush and the Cowboys responded from there. They went on three scoring drives. Two of them capped off with touchdowns, first on a one-yard Zeke Elliott touchdown run, a second on a beautiful one-handed toe-tapping catch by CeeDee Lamb, which made up for some earlier embarrassing drops. Cowboys go up 23-16, and that defense held on from there. Cooper Rush now 3-0 all-time as a starter in place of Dak Prescott. Also from the NFL, Tampa Bay Bucks headed to Miami to prep for their game this week with the Chiefs. That'll be the Sunday nighter. Hurricane Ian is making a beeline for Tampa St. Pete later in the week. Could make landfall by Wednesday. Scary news, but good news from Cleveland. Former Texas A&M star and Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett released from the hospital this morning. He was involved in a single car accident yesterday afternoon following practice. He is alert, responsive, according to the team. And as we say, reports this morning, he has been released, was swerving to avoid an animal on wet roads yesterday. To football, on the Longhorns coming off Saturday's extremely disappointing loss in Lubbock that saw the Horns blow a 2-touchdown second-half lead, replicated a common trend from last season when the Longhorns couldn't close big second-half leads. It happened four times at his weekly Monday news conference yesterday. Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian adamant that despite the setback, this year's team is improved and the ceiling remains high.
I think we are better. I know sometimes the results don't look that way, but I do think we're a better football team. I have a lot of confidence in the work that the players, the coaches have put into this. Sometimes it's easy to look at the result and think, oh, we're not better. But I see a lot of improvement on where we're at. Naturally, the consistency factor is critical, and we can't afford to have lapses in our consistency in play, in our preparation, or we'll get the result that we had. So I feel good about where we're at as a program, but we got to put it out there on the field every Saturday.
Next opportunity for that will be this Saturday. They'll host the West Virginia Mountaineers. Game has been set for a 6:30 kick. You'll hear it live here on the Horn and across the Austin Radio Network. Live coverage from Bevo Boulevard at 2:30 on Saturday. Update from the ugly field storming scene in Lubbock on Saturday. Texas Tech is being fined $50,000 by the Big 12 Conference for the students storming the field after the win. University Police Department continuing to search for the fan who shoved Texas senior Ovi Ogofu in the back during that mayhem. Also from college football, the streak of Mondays with a Power 5 coaching firing has now reached three straight Mondays. Georgia Tech followed the lead of Nebraska and Arizona State. They dismissed their head coach Jeff Collins yesterday. 1-3 start, 10-28 as the head coach of the Yellow Jackets.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
Hey, Buck, can I mention that it was a light night in baseball, but only four games?
Yeah, and I need to hear your thoughts on Albert Pujols, too, my friend.
Oh, man. Number 700. Let me give you that coming up. But I just wanted to mention that in only four games. Aaron Judge did not hit a home run.
Nope.
Still on 60. But how about Bryce Elder, the former Longhorn, made the start for the Braves last night and went the route, complete game shutout. Complete game shutout, six hitter. Struck out six. So way to go for the right-hander. So Bryce Elder,
look
the story
out,
of
Mets.
Baseball. Yeah. Mets, Braves, Dodgers in that National League. Albert Pujols, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, it's rare. You know, I'm going to be 50 this year, so I've gotten to watch the entirety of Albert Pujols' career. I remember when he came up. And was just this, his plate discipline for a young player, he was a great hitter coming out of the box, man, just unbelievable. And to watch his 20-year career culminate with home run number 700 the other night, just incredible. I mean, just incredible. Because so many of the greats, I didn't get to see their whole career. I saw parts of them or none of them. But when you get to see one from front to back, mm-hmm. So many of those big moments for him came against my Astros back in the day when he was the St. Louis Cardinal for the first time. He's as good a right-handed hitter as I've ever seen. I mean, he's up there with the greats all time, to say the least. And, obviously there will be those who will put the PEDs out there, but he's never been tainted by that. That's ever been proven. And he's just, he's a hitting machine. You know, he and Miguel Cabrera, the two greatest right-handed hitters I've ever seen growing up, and now as a seasoned baseball fan, as you would say, hard to top those two guys. Also hard to top the Cowboys last night. Great win. This is an interesting textbook. It says Cooper Rush is more accurate than Dak. Facts. Is that a fact for you? Cooper Rush more accurate than Dak Prescott?
Well, I'm just looking at Cooper Rush right now for the teams that he's playing against. I mean, he seems to be. They seem to have a game plan of exactly who they're hitting. He's comfortable with some of these wide receivers. They just have to catch the ball for him. I mean, he's putting the ball where it needs to be put. You know, I can't say anything, but from what I've seen of Cooper Rush, I mean, that guy's doing everything you need to do. That's what a backup quarterback's supposed to be look. Hell, that's what a starting quarterback's supposed to look like.
Yeah, I see starting quarterbacks that don't make those throws. I mean, yeah. He's making he's making throws, the anticipatory throws, where you know he's throwing to a spot and it's just on the money. And if he does it, if the throw's off a little bit, it's gonna be a pick. And there were a couple that he threw that would have been a pick six, but Noah Brown runs right in front of it, which is the way the play is designed. But a lot of quarterbacks aren't willing to pull the trigger on that. You just and throw it with the confidence and the accuracy that he does.
He's not playing like a guy who has nothing to lose. He's playing like a guy who has a lot of confidence.
Total control.
Yeah. Like, oh, no. There's nobody else behind me. No, I'm trying to win for the team right now. I thought last night he was excellent. And his numbers would have been huge if guys could catch.
88.
If 88
could catch.
I saw
a lot of trending stuff waiting to fly out last night of, you know,
Until he caught that one-hander.
Yeah, take 88 away. He doesn't deserve 88. He's not an 88.
Oh, that's all they talked about before the game, that whole deal with an 88.
I know. Well, we'd see Mike and Des Bryant was there last night, and Michael Irvin and Drew Pearson. And you got to earn that 88. And he was
no
not.
Doubt.
Then he had the one-handed catch and earned it. This says they don't call Nashville Smashville because of the hockey team. It's because it's the bachelorette capital of the world.
Oh.
Those are facts. I don't think I've ever seen more. Two things. Open-air buses where people party driving around the city in like a bus that's got no windows. Or a trailer being pulled by a tractor. And yes, the bachelorette parties are off the hook there.
Sweet.
I found my girlfriend there.
And so. You did?
Yeah, I did.
In the greater Smashville area?
In the greater Smashville area.
Greater Smashville.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Very nice.
All right, no hesitation with Rush. That is true. And look, here we are with the Cowboys and the Longhorns, right? The two teams we talk about the most on this show and in this area. And that's where the fans are. You have two coaches who are working with backup quarterbacks, QB2s. We know Hudson Card is the QB2, and Cooper Rush, and you know Mike McCarthy, who we give a lot of heat, is 2-0 now with his backup quarterback. Steve Sarkisian took a loss on Saturday that stings. You know we gave Sark and the team a lot of credit in the near miss to Alabama. But in my way of thinking, Buck, that fourth quarter becomes just another bad fourth quarter for Texas. That is becoming the trend. From last year into this year, the two losses, Texas is right there to win the ball game. Their opportunities are there in the fourth quarter, even whether it's Alabama or Texas Tech. It's the same as last year with Baylor and Oklahoma State and Oklahoma, where the game's right there in front of you. Can you go take it? And in all cases, they have not. And Steve Sarkisian is now 1-7 in his last 8 Big 12 games. Am I right about that?
Yeah, and you just got to be careful if you lose a key player. I mean, when Xavier Worthy went out of the game, it just seemed like, damn, you got to have faith that kid playing quarterback can do some of these things and throw the ball. Now I know some of the things that he can do because I've seen it now enough times that long bomb down the sideline.
Yes.
They're not connecting on that thing right there because it's either way overthrown to the outside or out of bounds, or it's underthrown, he's going to do that. But there's some things that he can do across the middle. You need to design plays where Whittington and the rest of these guys, the tight end, can get in the middle because Hudson Card can throw the ball in the middle of the field. That 15-yard ball and those things, he can throw those balls. So you need to design motions and, you know, he knows better than what's going on with the player, I thought.
Well, and we'll get back into that in the coach's corner because that's right around the corner. We'll talk Hudson Card and the conservative play calling both ways in that fourth quarter on Saturday for Texas. And the opposite of Mike McCarthy last night, absolutely aggressive both ways. And Kellen Moore, Dan Quinn, McCarthy, credit where credit is due. But before we do, Buck, can we get the Tuesday
tip
for the kids head of the school?
Uncle Bucky's Tips for Kids, brought to you by Relax the Back, providing best-in-class in-home relax and sleep products to achieve a life well-lived. Visit Relax the Back Austin area stores today.
No doubt about it. Thank you to the folks over at Relax the Back. By the way, next week we'll give away that chair, that probably $1,700 chair from Relax the Back. You know, Jason over there said, hey, it's time to bring them on in, and we'll bring one in next semester also. And so thank you for those letters that keep coming in from parents and the kids. So I'm narrowing that down, but I'm still also going to give away a couple gift cards to 7-Eleven. That's right. While you're waiting in line, you're going to be burning up some gas. You can use that $50 gift card to put some gas back in your car. Okay, it is getting towards that. Mom and Dad been taking care of you guys.
Oh, I thought it was going to be only Swerve for old ladies and babies.
Oh, no, no. When I say babies, I mean all the way up until, you know what I mean?
I mean like puppets and kittens?
Middle school. Yeah, I mean middle school. So it's not, I don't just hit middle schoolers either.
But that was about the Miles Garrett conversation that he apparently swerved to avoid
someone
an animal.
Someone said, is that a tip for a kid that, hey, look out for Uncle Buck when he's in his car? If you're elementary school, I'm not going to run you over either.
When you say babies, does that mean like baby dogs, like puppies and kittens and things like that? Baby deer? Like
no,
Bambi?
That means mom with a, you know, grandma taking the carriage across the street and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to run you all over. I'm not going to do that because that's noted as an old person with a baby in a carriage. So, and if you're an elementary school kid with your books, that's not happening either. But if I see you coming across with your vape pen and you're a teenager, you're liable. I'm not going to swerve and hit a pole for you. I've swerved enough time for squirrels and all that. Okay, the month of October is just around the corner, October, November. It is now mom and dad's time, and for you kids to throw a little help in there for them. You know what I mean? They've been helping you August, September, getting ready to get back to school. They've been helping you. It's your turn. Let them know that you've got some time to help them out. And I don't care if they're doing, I know the corniness of doing Halloween stuff. Start getting it out of the attic. Just ask mom if she needs a little help. By the way, at Christmas time, you can leave her alone. She didn't want you up in her attic at Christmas time. I know that deal, E. Don't mess with mom's stuff. She knows exactly where the Christmas stuff is. But if there's some things that she could use you bringing down, I don't care. It's, you know, the Thanksgiving stuff or some dishes and pans and stuff that may keep up in the attic. But the other one is don't mess with her Christmas stuff. You do not mess with mom's Christmas gear because she knows exactly where it is. But let mom and dad know that whatever they need to do right now, you've got some time to help them out. There is my tip for kids, brought to you by Relax in the Back. Just a little thing. Just ask them if they could use some help right now. As I said, September's coming to an end. October, November, it's going to get busy around the household, so they could use your help. Give them a little help, please.
Audiovisual Consultations and Tom McKay, the really smart guys who never make you feel stupid.
All right, that'll pivot right into the Coach's Corner. And in our Coach's Corner on Tuesdays, we hear some great stuff from Steve Sarkisian, or some stuff. You can decide if it's great or not. from Steve Sarkisian's Game Week News Conference. That is always powered by our friends at Grande Equipment. Grande knocking it out with AV bringing you the Coach's Corner. But we were on the way to this. We were talking about coaching in the fourth quarter. I mean, to me, that has to be the spotlight moving forward. I don't want to say nothing else matters, but it really is the pivot point for this team. And it has been for Steve Sarkisian, and he was adamant yesterday that this team is better. This team will learn to finish games. This will not be the team that was fragile last year and collapsed and, you know, lost six consecutive football games. And then four of them they had leads in the second half and couldn't finish. And then, you know, the first conference game, the opportunity to be up, you know, 31-17. You've put yourself there to win this game and start 1-0 in conference, and, you know, the same issues we're back in full force. So, again, moving forward, that has to become the centerpiece of Steve Sarkisian's conversation with his team. But to the point of the backup quarterback, Buck, you know, here's my thing. With Hudson Card and then, of course, Xavier Worthy gets hurt in that game after catching a long touchdown pass or in the first half, he goes out with what with Sark talked about. It was a, you know, an ankle injury, nothing structural. It's going to be a day-to-day situation for them. Actually, let's hear Sark on the injury update because Sark did weigh in on the injury there, and Tomorrow Ojimo yesterday, moving into the game with West Virginia and beyond. It's number eight. There's Ty, number eight.
Injury-wise, you know, Morrow was practicing again today, so hopefully we can get him back Saturday. Xavier's day-to-day, again, nothing structural from X-ray or anything. I think, you know, at some point this week we'll get him back and what that looks like. And Troy's making good progress. I think he's coming along well. He's practicing better than he ever has since I've been here. So all those are positives.
All right, so that's good.
I mean, is he hurt? Is Troy O'Meara hurt, or can he play? I mean, He doesn't play, so I'm just wondering.
People keep asking about him, so yeah. I don't think Sark mentions him if nobody asks about him. But if they do, he specifically will respond to them. But so on the fourth quarter thing, and this was Casey Thompson in this role last year. The Oklahoma game obviously stands out. The Baylor game. Why does he become so conservative? I know. So to me, if you have a backup quarterback, and then you have Xavier Worthy not playing in the second half, and you're down to, you know, Casey Kane and Tariq Milton is out there, and you're trying to find some dynamic playmakers. Isn't this where Sark's offensive creativity has to come into play?
You mean like motions and using Bijan as a slot receiver and things like that?
You don't have your best players, so now through formation, motion, confusion, you have to then create opportunities. That's what you are, Sark. That's your bread and butter.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody said it earlier, I'm not ready to call Sark a great play caller. He's a great play scripter. And sometimes you wonder that. Well, go back to the script when you need a big drive. I mean, there were critical moments early in the third quarter of the game after you had stopped them on fourth down at the 40-yard line. Dude, go back to the opening script in which you scored in three plays.
Yeah, I mean, do you have something planned? I mean, Sark talks about, you know, his guy from Alabama who catches a touchdown pass down the sideline. Is there something else that he does that can get him loose? Have you made something that can get him? He's got the speed. He can catch well enough. There's got to be something more in the game plan than him being a special teams guy and running down the sideline wide open, catching a pass. So there's got to be something for Keelan to do.
I will give Sark this. When it got crunch time, he's tried to give the ball to his best players, which was Bijan and Roshan, and all too often the Wildcat or whatever didn't produce. When it doesn't work, it looks predictable. But
I don't think he gives it enough to Bijan. 16 times touching the ball in a game like that. That guy needs it.
17. The 17th was the fumble.
All right. Well, you need to give it to him 25 times or 26 times. I'm not saying run him 30 sometimes. I'm not trying to flatten the tires on his wheels. I'm just trying to win. I'm trying to win a football game. And three or four or five or six more carries for that guy, who knows what's going to happen because he just makes plays.
Well, and here's the thing, right? This is the rub in these nine losses. So many of them were winnable in the fourth quarter, and they've lost them. That's on Sark. And to hear him earlier talk about, you know, our front didn't match up with our back end on defense, so our pressure packages were good, but our coverage was bad. Well, we're 16, 17 games into this thing. Why is that still happening? And then consistently in the fourth quarters offensively, it becomes really, really predictable. And that is the time in which you don't need to be. And that's where I'll give Joey McGuire credit at Texas Tech. He was anything but predictable on Saturday. He was completely, you know, off the chain unpredictable going for it when most coaches would not even consider going for it on fourth downs. Think about what Joey McGuire did on Saturday in our coach's corner. With a quarterback who was a sophomore who had been turnover prone, he was either going to win or lose with that quarterback. And he gave him the opportunity to go win the football game and instilled confidence in him, and he did.
Well, they had confidence instilled in him before the game even started because they're not afraid of Texas. Joey McGuire just told you.
I know.
That's not a big win for us. That's not a big thing. We know that if we just kept punching and kept hanging in there. And he believes that, Ian. He believed that when he was in high school. He saw Texas players over the last couple coaches. He understands. He said,
did
keep
punching.
Did you
guys play that yesterday?
Oh, we played it every hour on the hour.
There you go. Well, and hopefully it's playing in the Texas locker room this week. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that needs to be. If anything is going to create some dogs and create some fire to go finish these football games, that would be it.
Or it's just going to be playing and nothing's going to be done.
Well, and you know who said it the most over the years? Gary Patterson. And Gary Patterson is now on your staff that Texas will break eventually.
Absolutely.
Can he help change that? I don't know. I mean, he's there.
And he truly believed that. And he's probably still believing it. As soon as he heard Joey McGuire say it, he must have been, uh-oh.
Well, a lot of credit to Joey McGuire because he's a first-year coach who took a lot of chances. He understood his only chance to upset and win this game was to be aggressive, be confident, and do crazy things, which a lot of, you know, eight times going for it on fourth down with an average of 5 yards. I mean, that's bold. Several times in his own territory. That is not by the book.
Dude, you're supposed to kick that team in the teeth if they go for it eight times.
Yes, you are.
They're supposed to get two of those, maybe.
Yeah, and if you stop them two more times, this could have been a route. It really could have been the other way because it was a two-touchdown game at one point.
And then you don't take advantage of the biggest time that you stopped them, coming right out of the half when you were leading the game.
Early third. That's what I'm saying. That was the momentum killer right there. All right, we'll come back. We'll take your thoughts. Cowboys, big win. Bucky's tip for the kids. Myles Garrett out of the hospital, and yes, the Longhorns, frustratingly maddening in the fourth quarter again. We'll hit it. We'll also get to the latest on that search for the student who shoved Ovi Agofu in the back on Saturday. We'll hear Sark's thoughts on that field storming situation coming back. Plus, before the end of the hour, Ty is back from Vegas. He'll lead us through some hot or not topics that we have missed here halfway through this fun Tuesday edition. It's B&E.
B&E.
Tuesday on the Horn, B&E with you. Ty Henderson, our producer, will lead us through the hot or not topics before the top of the hour, taking over for Zay, who's off to the middays. Have they named that show yet?
I don't know.
Have they named that program? It's going to be on from noon to 3 today.
No, I didn't.
After Light the Tower.
No, I don't know what they're going to name it.
Another one of our producers off to rise to greatness. You know what I'm saying? That's what
Ty,
we do
it's
here.
Just around the corner for you, so
yeah,
just
right.
Hang in there. If you can hang in there with us for a while,
as long as you're not
it won't be long.
As long as you're not going to be a super spreader back from Vegas or something.
Oh, super spreader.
No promises on that.
Exactly. Stay in that room through the glass, you know what I'm saying? But we've got a lot going on. Cowboys, huge win last night. I really think that, I mean, when they fell down 13-6 and Saquon Barkley scampered through that secondary, you kind of felt like, ooh, with a backup quarterback on the road, crowd in it, this thing could get away, and all of a sudden you're 1-2. But man, that was impressive. That fourth quarter, those long drives, there was some grit to that from the Cowboys. And we know their defense is legit. That offense was excellent when they needed it. And CeeDee Lamb made that big catch. Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard both looking good. And you know they're going to get Michael Gallup back. I mean, that's another encouraging thing. And you know, Dak Prescott did indicate that maybe he could be back for this week's game with Washington. I know there were some Cowboy fans saying, "Hey, take your time, Dak. Take your time.
I would take at least another week. I mean, you'd be able to win with Cooper Rush against Washington. Have you seen Washington play?
I saw him beat Jacksonville week one. That's the only team to beat Jacksonville. But then they've been bad since.
Man.
And Commander Wentz.
He's struggling. They are attacking him.
Well, if you don't already have the Cowboys defense in fantasy football, you might want to pick him up to face Commander
My
Wentz
goodness.
And the Commanders, because that could get out of control.
They are bad.
And you know, we also can say, you know, who else is bad? The Longhorns in the fourth quarter of football games. That has become,
they're bad. They're bad. It's four quarter games.
But you're right. I mean, if you're bad in the fourth, because again, it doesn't matter how good you look in the first three quarters.
No, you got to win the game.
That makes you a bad team.
Yes, and you got to find a way to fix that, and you get paid a lot of money to fix that, and your players have to play. They have to understand the situation, and they got to be a part of it too. I mean, once again. Not finding the ball, high-pointing the ball is ridiculous. That is, I don't know. I like to look at the secondary coaches and say, what are you guys doing? But I got to look at the players who are really good enough athletes to say, come on, guys. Somebody knock the ball down. Get a finger on it. Don't let the guy and then have the head coach say, it makes a great catch. That's not a great catch. The ball goes right in his breadbasket. The guy who's catching the ball, he doesn't even high-point it.
Yeah,
hits him right in the stomach.
I mean, there are a lot of discouraging things from that game Saturday, but to have that quarterback drop back 58 times and you didn't sack him
once. That's what you wanted him to do.
Exactly. And you did get pressure. You just didn't get home. That's the third week in a row you've gotten pressure, but no one's bringing the quarterback down, whether it's Bryce Young or Frank Harris or now Donovan Smith. You're impacting the passer, but then you're not covering well enough down the field. So you end up giving up fourth down after fourth down, so you end up facing almost 100 plays defensively.
And you lose your best wide receiver, and then I hear for the last 2 years what Bijan Robinson is as a pass receiver, and I don't see him line up there in the slot and become a pass receiver.
That's what I was saying earlier in our coach's corner. We got up against the break. That's when you have to be your most creative, when you're down
sure.
a player or two. I mean, you just do it. Yeah, it sucks for Texas that Isaiah Nayor and now Xavier Worthy in the second half of your first conference game are gone, and you're down to, you know, Jay Witt and... But you still got good players. You still have to go move the ball and manufacture opportunities in offense to keep your, you know, you don't want to.
I thought Jay Witt's day was going to be that 13 catch day.
Well, you know, fans, we've seen this a lot with previous Texas teams. But when you get to the fourth quarter and it's like what we saw, the fans can start calling the plays, right? You're watching the game, going, okay, well, here's Bijan off the right tackle out of the zone read. With a quarterback who's not going to go anywhere, so they're going to crash it down. There's just not a lot that fools a defense at that point. And that was the strength of Texas Tech, right? Their defense coming in with 10 seniors, 10 returning starters. If you played into their game, and that's to me, that was the storyline, is Joey McGuire played aggressively like a riverboat gambler because that was his chance. And then when it mattered most, Sark and PK made it easy on Texas Tech. They didn't have to guess. They didn't have to be confused on either side of the ball.
Dude, if you're getting that Wildcat and you're sitting there with Rojo back there, love that kid to death, that's a different runner than Bijan. Bijan, on any given play, can go to the house, whether there's five. I now know when I see him lined up, the minute he takes a step and he gives that fake, it's not like a quarterback fake anymore. As soon as he fakes it with a little bit of motion to Bijan and he takes it, and he's going one direction, 11 guys leave their – I mean, the defensive backs leave the wide receivers and head to the spot.
Yeah.
They are there. I mean, it is it's like meet you at lunch somewhere. I mean, meet you for lunch right there at that spot. They just run to the spot that he takes a step to. And I didn't notice the little things, but one of the announcers did say, look at where the running back, look at where Bijan Robinson is lining up. When he splits the tackle, it's pass all the way.
So they're telegraphing.
Well, the linebackers are starting to know that now. Yeah. I mean, it just, you know.
That's
I thought
coaching.
It was just an announcer just talking to be talking. Well, you know what I'm saying? What and then mean. I noticed in the game, I'm like, wait a minute, when he's out there and his leg is on the tackle's leg or splitting that tackle, he's not running from that point on. He's going. He's gone.
Well, that's to me, that is offensive malfeasance or, you know, malpractice. You can't tip your place. Because the minute you do that, your game, you know, talking about being predictable, this is a pitcher tipping pitches. I mean, if they know what's coming, they can tee off on you. That needs to be fixed. And if that's showing up on film and you don't fix it, that's on you. That's why you have quality control assistants. That's why you have all this extra staff to self-scout and
sure.
Gary Patterson, hey, we're seeing this on film. Better clean that up. As we said yesterday or said earlier, but yesterday to a player and Sark, the word pissed off was said multiple times. So, does that show up against West Virginia? Are you going to start seeing this team be able to finish football games? Because they're two losses this year.
And you
year
can only do it the next losses. Game. You can't talk about what happens the game after that or the game after that consistency. It's all game to game with this team.
Can I say one thing? Shame on AP voters. I'm not a voter in the Associated Press poll, but how are they not voting for Kansas in the top 25? Am I missing something? I mean, Kansas has gone from a nice story to a team that should be ranked. I don't have a problem with Georgia being number one and Alabama two, Ohio State three. That's fine. Michigan's four. They survived Maryland on Saturday in a good game. Clemson, speaking of survival, surviving Wake Forest at Wake Forest, found a way. USC is at six. Kentucky seven, no problem. Tennessee leaps into the top 10 out of the SEC after their big win over Florida with Josh Heupel and Hendon Hooker. Oak State, nine. They didn't play last week, so here we go. And, NC State, I'm good with that. But where is Florida? I mean, where is Kansas here? They're 4-0, and it's not like they've played an easy schedule, have they? They've already played at West Virginia.
Duke is Duke.
They played at Houston. They're 4-0. Do you know that Lance Leipold right now with Jalen Daniels has Kansas as the fourth best offense in all of college football? Fourth best offense in all of college football in 20 and 22. I think they should at least get some votes. They should be in the top 25 at 4-0, my opinion.
Yeah, and that's why that Nebraska's job is his probably eyeballs are popping out of his head.
Hey, so who was more fortunate to win this weekend on Saturday, Texas A&M or Auburn?
I would think Auburn. I thought Texas A&M found out what they really wanted to do against Arkansas. I mean, they gave the ball to their running back. He was going to get that ball for 160.
Well, I mean, A&M did have some good fortune there. They earned it. That was a hard-fought win to fall down 14-0 and come back and win the game.
But it's always a tough game up there in Dallas for them.
Absolutely. But let's just say they were fortunate because, obviously, the fumble, the 14-point swing on the fumble return for a touchdown, that's a play, but that's good fortune.
Absolutely.
You needed
make
that to
it,
happen.
Make your fortune. That's
and
right.
And then, of course, the kicker hits the ball. I've never seen a ball hit off the top of the crossbar. What is that? I saw someone suggest that if it hits the crossbar, it's a doink. If it hits the top of it, it's an oink. Oink for Arkansas. Only Arkansas can pull that off. But, you know, earlier in the day, Auburn played Missouri. And, Buck, they lost the game because the kicker for Missouri missed an extra point, essentially, that would have won the game in regulation. And then in overtime, after they kick a field goal, Brian Harsin's team, here comes Missouri, and the kid's about to cross the goal line for the touchdown to win it, and the ball gets knocked out of his hand at the goal line. So twice.
Hey, but like Joey McGuire says, if you just keep hitting them,
They're
going to break. They're going to break.
No one even touched the guy's hand when he was going to the inside.
They fumbled it.
He reached out.
But he broke.
I mean, there are heartbreaking losses, and then there's what I saw with Missouri.
Heartbreaking loss is Bijan Robinson fumbling that ball. That was heartbreaking.
That probably doesn't – because you felt like Texas – you know, to go – because we'll get back into Texas coming up, but the fact that they didn't move the ball for the better part of two
even
and a half quarters.
In a game like that with Texas Tech, really? Then they got the coach yapping about crap through a goose running through Lubbock, really?
Well, think about after not moving the ball for the better part of the entire fourth quarter and the back end of the third, Texas didn't get a first down for three straight drives. Actually, they did get one that was on a penalty, but then they didn't do anything with it. But then to go, 50 yards in three plays to set up a field goal, and the kid makes it. Now you're in overtime. You're thinking, oh, man, they may have a chance to survive this game. And then, your best player coughs it up. We'll talk about Bijan Robinson and why he's carrying a football around campus this week, apparently, going the program. We'll get into that. Also, more on the Longhorns. The Cowboys' huge win last night. Should Kansas be ranked? They are sitting atop the Big 12 right now, along with Texas Tech and Baylor. And
what's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
Hot knot on this Tuesday morning, Ty. We start calling Tyrone, our new producer.
Calling Tyrone. There you go.
He's up in the house. But the hot buck this morning is the weather, because it was not hot. When I walked out of the door this morning, it was 60 degrees. 60 degrees in the ATX. And it says right now it's 56. Is that right? 56 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Going to about 90 today, but we'll take a little lower humidity. Beautiful stuff to get your Tuesday underway. Also hot, how about we probably should have played this in our coach's corner earlier, but a message from Coach Beard here. Texas basketball coach Chris Beard, a message to all UT students last night. Does this include you, Tyrone? Are you a UT student or a fake UT student?
I like to think I am, but I'm not.
There you go.
Here's Coach Beard. He put this out on social media yesterday. Apparently they're having a get-together. Here we go.
Texas students, Coach Beard here, men's basketball coach, inviting all of you out tomorrow night, Tuesday, at the Scoot Inn on East 4th Street. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Our team will be there. I will be there. TJ Ford will be there, or his painting will be here. Merle Haggard will be there, or his album will be there. This is the first year in the Moody Center, the first year of our official student section being called the Corral. We can't wait to tell you more about it tomorrow night. Free food, free t-shirts with the Corral logo. Be the first to get the Corral t-shirt. We have a special guest coming tomorrow night. All right, all right, all right. Special guest. All right, all right, all right. Scoot in tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Talked about the Corral. College basketball season's about 50 days away. Can't wait to see you tomorrow night. Hook 'em.
Right, did you say free?
Well, you're student. Student. So Ty can't go. I can't go. You can't go.
What do you mean? Do I have my student ID still?
Somewhere. Somewhere. But the MOC will be there. Do you like that? The new student section called the Corral?
I like it.
At the Mood? Okay, Corral at the Mood. All right, there's Coach Beard. So if you're a student, which we're not, get out there.
That's a nice little message.
Scoot Inn's a cool place, too, especially with the weather we're dealing with right now. It looks pretty nice out. Also, you remember, don't forget this, Joey McGuire also
has a message to
UT as well.
Hey, I ask you to keep fighting it. Said it's going to be, when we came out of half, we had two more rounds to fight, and you did. I told you they were going to break, and they did.
Yes, sir.
I told you they were going to break, and did. The reporter asked me at the end, says, what's it mean to win this game and beat Texas? I said, it doesn't mean anything to beat Texas. We're 1-0 in the Big 12.
Yeah. All right, there you go. There's your message. You all goes through Lubbock. You will break.
Yeah, you don't think they're calling you soft? Well, and believe me, he didn't just think that the week of the game. No. He's been thinking that since he was a high school coach. But he's seen what's going on here over the last couple of years.
You were the coach. Would this not be playing on a loop in your locker room?
It'd be playing on a loop at my house. If somebody started playing different music in my house, I'd play this at my house.
I'm talking about if you're Sark, you're playing this in the locker room.
Oh, it had to play yesterday.
A lot.
Yeah.
You don't walk away from that or try to hide that. That is what your peers and your opponents think of you. You will break.
And as I said, he's not just thinking that now. He's thought of that a while.
And when it's critical moments, when they do, when it needs to be done, they break. And that all too often. But that's an issue. As for Tyrone, our new producer, Ty Henderson, T, what have we missed here halfway through this Tuesday program?
Well, it was announced yesterday that Rihanna will be hosting or headlining the Super Bowl in Arizona this year after last year's L.A. showcase. Bucky, what do you think?
I'm good with that.
You like that?
Yes, I do.
Now, I read this morning that Rihanna has not performed live since 2018.
Yeah, I didn't. That's crazy. I didn't realize that.
I did not know that. You were just in Vegas, Ty. What was the buzz about Rihanna in Vegas? Anything?
I did not hear any buzz. It was just me losing money. That's all
it was. I think she'll put on a great show. Buck, you're into this, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Barbados. Did we ever learn this? She's from Barbados. So what do you call someone from Barbados?
Barbadian.
So, Barbadian?
Sounds right to me.
Like a Canadian? Barbadian?
Yeah, Barbadian. Yeah.
I love that. She'll put on a big show. It'll be good.
Oh, it'll be a big show.
Now, of course, this is all part of the NFL's partnership with Dr. Dre and helping to bring some
funk,
hip hop to the NFL.
I think that'll be a decent show.
Be good.
Apple Music's also the new sponsor this
Apple
year.
Apple Music,
no more Pepsi.
Apple's got out the deepest of the deep pockets, so that's good. I'm in for that. You know, we always like a good Super Bowl halftime show. I think most people. How many text messages? Will
Especially
we get
with those Cowboys in that Super Bowl. That's right.
I like that.
There
I
you
like
go.
That. Oh man.
Oh my goodness.
Cooper Rush, baby.
We may. I called Jerry Jones. You know, people used it as clickbait last week. Now the whole quarterback controversy may actually, because we're getting a lot of Cowboy fans saying Cooper's more accurate, Cooper's more clutch, Cooper to man.
Whatever Cooper is, there's no reason for Dak Prescott if his thumb's not totally healed. Just got the stitches out yesterday in New York. Not this week.
You know,
now,
you
Cooper Rush can beat the Commanders.
Eager to get back?
Who's that?
Dak.
Yeah, he is. Stitches in it or not.
He's watching the same game we are.
Of course he is.
He can go back and watch his performance against Tampa week one. Wasn't that good?
No, it may be just as well to get back against Commander Wentz and the Commanders.
Yeah, I'd want to play against them. Because the following week is the Rams in L.A.
Oh.
Kind of like the Longhorns, right? If you're Quinn Ewers, if you're going to come back this week, can you get... Quinn throwing them bombs back this week ahead of the Oklahoma game.
Hey, he made the trip.
We'll talk about it this coming up in our 8 o'clock hour. We'll also get your headlines, how the Cowboys rallied in the fourth quarter to take down the G-Men. We've got it all for you on a busy Tuesday on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming always on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.